from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I regret. I nailed it.
Oh, that was well done.
I nailed it.
It really was. Yeah, that was really good. You'd be squinting out of that eye for the rest of the day, though.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Radio Program goes right now, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Fan Upstate. What sport is the most synonymous with which holiday? I got asked that question yesterday. Is 4th of July and baseball like the most sports/holiday association?
No, because of competitive eating, except for, you know, I mean, obvious
competitive
eating,
let's be clear, and I'm going to go full diesel on this. Competitive eating is not a sport. It's a competition.
It's just as much of a sport as golf is,
Which is a competition. Is golf a sport? And the reason that question is such a wonderful peak off-season radio question is because it's wildly subjective. Each person gets to define what a sport is to them. To me, I am perfectly happy to accept golf as a competition, not a sport. It doesn't bother me. A lot of golf guys hate it. A lot of guys think it's a sport.
Bowling.
It's a sport. I would say bowling's a competition.
Okay. All right.
Now, again, you can compete directly with other people, but I'd say it's competition. I would say anything that can also be done... I would say anything that can also be done by yourself and it's the same game isn't a sport. It's competition.
All right, bowling, golf. James wants to know if NASCAR is a sport and are the drivers athletes?
Absolutely.
The drivers have to be athletes and they have to be short. So, I mean, there's that.
You don't have to be short. Carson Hocevar is taller than me by a solid 3 inches.
Yeah, but Rob still couldn't fit in that car.
Correct, because I'm also rounder than Carson Hocevar by way more than 3 inches.
Not anymore, thanks to New Life.
No, I still am. I'm just not much rounder than he is. He's a beanpole. But he's like 6'6". But yes, NASCAR is a sport. Because, and I'll even go so far as to use Diesel's qualification here, there absolutely is defense in NASCAR. 1,000% there's a block in NASCAR. There are going to be team blocks in NASCAR.
If NASCAR is a sport, then so is horse racing.
No, that's just horses doing what horses do.
No, it's someone guiding something else around a track.
Nah. Because first off, the jockeys are irrelevant. You could put 12 horses in the gate, teach them to run. Fastest one gets the sugar cube. All right? You don't need them. Horses know how to run to not run into other horses.
I don't think horses naturally run in a circle without guidance.
No.
I don't know. I've never been out in the wild and seen a stallion in the wild to find out what happens.
I mean, I've never seen them run in a circle, but absolutely, horses run all the time without guidance. That's kind of what horses do.
But not in a circle.
And if you're not careful, they'll drag you away. You'll lose more than you're going to win one day.
I could not be a scout in horse racing because I've never been on a horse.
You don't need to be. You just got to watch it. You never played an NFL game either, but you're a scout in that.
That you know of. In my mind, I've played many NFL games.
Me too. On Xbox, I've played 1,000. Still not a scout.
How many did you win?
Not as much as I should have. I am fine with NASCAR as a sport. Competitive eating is not a sport, it is a competition. But I'll even open it up to competition. Which sport or competition is most synonymous with a particular holiday? And what are the nominees? NBA on Christmas, which I would say probably would have been my answer up until about 3 months ago. But yeah, now that the NFL's
so
on... Yeah, I don't think it's passé. I think it was fair. I think for me, NBA on Christmas Day was always like a thing. I'm watching the NBA on Christmas Day. But I also know If the NFL's on and the NBA's on and I got to pick one on Christmas Day, I'm watching the NFL. Could be the two worst teams in the league while the two best teams in the NBA are playing the same day. I'm watching the NFL. Now, I'm not because I'm a dude and I got all the TVs in the bro cave. I'll be watching everything. But the point is, up until this year, it was probably the NBA on Christmas. Now, I don't think it is anymore. Now, I don't know that that means that the NFL is going to dominate Christmas. I mean, they'll dominate in terms of the ratings. I don't know if we'll ever look at it and go, yeah, it's like Christmas Day is NFL Day now. I think Thanksgiving in the NFL, I think that's probably way up towards the top of the list for sure. The hot dog eating contest is absolutely a 4th of July thing. Do I think it overrules baseball? Nah, I don't. I think the 4th of July. I think the 4th of July is the most synonymous sport holiday relationship.
Yeah,
there's nothing else.
You are, without a doubt, a baseball guy. So, of course, you're going to think that.
I'm not a baseball guy more than I'm a basketball guy, dude. I'm a bigger basketball guy than baseball guy. I'm a bigger football guy than baseball guy. Just so we're clear. Yeah, I host the baseball show on Saturdays, and I get paid good money for it.
Which would imply that you're a baseball guy.
No, it doesn't. It just implies I know ball. Specifically the base kind in this one.
I'm just thinking if I'm on a baseball show, people probably think I'm a baseball guy.
Oh, listen, there is a big difference between it's not my number one sport and I love it / know it. I love and know ball. All the balls. But I love and I know baseball.
Except for cricket. But you're working on it.
I don't know cricket. I don't know cricket. I try my best. I really honestly tried with cricket. I just couldn't figure it out. I tried. Lonzo could attest, I sat in the Fortress of Nerditude for like 3 straight days. Every day after we got off the air, I went in there and put on a cricket match, hoping I was just going to like learn it through proxy. Couldn't do it. Couldn't figure it out. They're like, oh, it's a full end. And I'm like, I got a full end after Taco Bell. I don't know what that means. I can't help here. I got nothing.
Sorry, I just saw a thing that says you can't spell sausage without USA.
America.
Little things that just get you.
America. So, I'm going baseball on the 4th of July. I think baseball on the 4th of July overrules the NBA or NFL in terms of their relationship. Like, when you think 4th of July, you think baseball, right? When you think 4th of July, it's baseball and an apple pie. That, like, that, it's like a saying, man.
When's the last time you had apple pie on July the 4th?
Last year? Or year before?
Or ever.
Oh, the last year, fiance makes a mean. It's not a pie.
Is this specific to July 4th, though?
No,
a cobbler's not a pie. Come on.
A cobbler is a type of pie.
No, but a cobbler, no. A pie needs to be in a pie shell. It can't be, a cobbler is not in a shell.
A cobbler absolutely has a crust on it.
It's not a, no.
What do you mean, no?
No, a cobbler is not a pie.
It is a type of pie.
No way. It is not a type of pie.
How is it not? It's a pie filling with a crispier crust across the top. Like, the only difference is that a pie has a bottom crust and a cobbler doesn't. So is that what sets the difference?
According to AI, because that's what we all care about, cobbler is sometimes called a fruit pie, but they have some key differences. Crust.
A cobbler has a crust. What? Literally, what is on top of a cobbler if it's not a crust?
Is it underneath?
No.
Well, then it's not a pie.
It's a type of a pie.
No, a pie has to, is it an upside down pie?
Is it an upside down
because
pie?
The crust needs to be on the bottom if it's a pie.
So by not having a bottom crust, cobbler's just not a pie anymore.
Right.
Even though it's just, pretty much
it's a wonderful dessert, but
it is 80% the same thing. But is an El Camino not a car?
It's not really.
It is though.
It's
a type of car.
It's half car, half truck.
So what is it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know it's not a pie.
A cobbler's a pie. It's absolutely a pie. It's a pie without the bottom crust. It's a pie.
All right. According to Fine Dining Lovers, Cobbler is sometimes described as a kind of fruit pie, but
yes,
strictly speaking, the two are different. Pies are made from pastry rather than biscuit batter, and they are fully encased with a crust at the top and the bottom.
Yeah, what I just said. A
while
bottom crust is the only
typically
difference.
Typically only have a topping.
Exactly what I said.
It's not a pie.
It is. Somebody's going to call him right now to tell us shut up about pie and start talking sports, which is very fair, which is very fair. And also to answer the question last year, because the fiance made an apple cobbler, which is a type of pie for the 4th of July. And I appreciate it.
Text line 71307. Is cobbler a pie?
This is the most important question we've asked in years.
For today, yes. Cobbler is not a pie.
It is a type of pie.
No,
it absolutely is. Just like mini golf is a type of golf. It's not golf.
There you go, Jesse. It's like a dessert casserole. Exactly.
So is a
usually
pie.
Made, no, pies are made in a pie pan. Cobblers are made in a casserole dish.
So we're defining things by the container they're in now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
if I put water in a jug, it's kind of water because it's not in a water bottle?
That doesn't,
what?
No, that doesn't apply. No. What in the world was that?
A dessert casserole because it's not in a pie tin?
Yeah, I mean, so have you ever had cobbler out of a pie tin?
No, but I could make it. It's just a dish.
But you know why you wouldn't? You would not do that because it's not a pie.
It is.
If it was a pie, you'd put it in a pie pan, but it's not a pie.
Texter says, fan upstate, cobbler is in the pie family. Yes, yes, that is exactly correct. A bird is a type of dinosaur. A cobbler is a type of pie. It is an evolution of the pie. It will always be a pie, even when it's not the same thing. It will always be in the pie family. It's just the type of pie. Cobbler is a type of pie.
This is the wrongest thing you've said today.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. We still got a couple.
Because I've said nothing wrong today.
Less than 2 hours, but I mean, you just got time to top it. But for now, this is no.
Texter said, this is Ray texting from the other side. Stop talking about pie and start talking about sports.
We're not. We're talking about cobbler.
Ooh, Ray. Kevin's on the phone. Let's get Kevin in here. Kev is a pie, a cobbler is a cobbler, a pie, and then I want to hear about your sports.
Anything that get cooked in the oven inside some bread is a pie.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Kevin, don't make me end your call.
Thank you, sir.
Because that could very well happen. No, you guys are both wrong.
Man,
thank you, Kev.
Hey, man, I'm from the country, man. So anything like that, patty pies, down the apple pies. If you add cobbler to it, we just feel like you bougie and you're not from the country.
Thank you.
And we just feel like...
That's even better. Cobbler is just bougie pie. It's bougie pie. And I'm bougie, and I know it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. One percenter. Whatever.
Hey, but check it out. All right. Lakers got the guy. And y'all remember a few weeks ago when I said, if we hire J.J. Redick, I'm never watching basketball again. Right?
I do.
So, I don't know what I'm going to do this winter.
Kev, you're going to watch basketball. Stop lying to the people. Quit lying on radio, dog.
I love the Lakers, man, but I'm telling you, like Big Perk said, man, I'm sitting here ready to just dissect the whole team just as soon as everything do not go right.
All right, because so let me ask you this. You don't watch – I'm in charge of radio, of television. All right, Kev, I'm going to offer you an option. Here's the deal. You can watch every game, or you can watch no games. But whatever you start on opening day, that is the thing, right? So if you check in week one, in day one, tip day, and then J.J. Redick has this team, let's say like 20-5 a quarter of the way through the season, you can't watch it. You still can't watch. If they're in the NBA Finals, you can't watch. Or... you can watch from week one, but even if they go 0-25 to start, you have to watch every game. Which one are you doing?
I hope it's a lot of overtime at work and I can just figure it out there.
Which one are you doing, Kevin?
Because I'm a sports fan, I guess I have to just start watching day one.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. K-Perk does not let Jesse just said it in the stream, and I love this. He said, Kendrick Perkins doesn't like J.J., and as a biased point of view, not sure I would trust anything he has to say about J.J. coaching. I'm going to say this respectfully to Big Perk. Big Perk ain't that great, all right? He has been wrong way more than he's been right. All right, he's on my list of guys that get it wrong dramatically more than they get it right. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are asking me what about this team worries me, J.J. Redick not having experience worries me because I'm worried there's going to be a couple of years of growing pains, and I'm worried J.J.'s going to find his stride right when LeBron walks away after two seasons with Bronny, absolute maximum. I'm more concerned about the fact that y'all made a play for Clay, couldn't get him. Y'all are making plays for previous head coaches to come be assistant coaches. They're telling you no. My biggest fear for L.A. is that your new GM, LeBron James, has created a world that NBA players don't think, if I can play with LeBron, I got to play with LeBron. They're going, this team's so far down the LeBron rabbit hole, they're not going to be able to come back for like a number of years. And that's the biggest problem y'all got.
There's a guy that he played college basketball. He knows the game really well. And I asked him about LeBron all the time. He was like, he thinks LeBron is a black hole. He's like, if you're averaging 25, 30 points and you go play with LeBron, now you're going from 25 to 30 to 12 to 17 just to say you're going to the chip with LeBron.
But, I mean, who's he saying that about with the Lakers, right? Like, do you think Clay is going to have a drop-off from guy who got benched with the Warriors to the Lakers if he moves there? Because let's also point out, if we're going down that path, Kev, LeBron's points per game total has come down. His assist per game total has skyrocketed over the last three seasons. That, to me, says that's not true.
I just want him. He still got to have a guard that's not going to defer to him. He needs a guard that can go get a good 25 to 30 when he can't or when he's not. There's still, like, D'Lo, he gets scared. Well, D'Lo got to go anyway. Why we haven't went and got a guard yet, I never understand. Unless we picked him up in the last 24 hours or whatever. But we still got to have a guard that can go get his when it's time to go get his.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. I think you absolutely. I mean, LeBron James has been playing the point for you for some time. Now, you do have D'Angelo Russell. He did sign an extension, but it's kind of shocked me, to be honest. I really thought D'Lo was gone. You got D'Lo Russell, but D'Lo checks out all the time, right? Like, he just checks out all the time.
How do you make that much money and just check out?
Like, I don't know, Kev. You've worked with a guy like that, and so have I. Don't lie. You have. Kevin, appreciate it, my guy. We got to run. Appreciate you. Thanks for checking in. Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663, 844-FAN-FONE. Look, I'm not going to sit here and spend a bunch of segments talking about the Lakers. I will when Kev calls in because that's my guy, P1 for sure. What I am saying is it's LeBron's team. LeBron runs it. He makes the decision. He makes the calls. Okay? We all know that now. And I'm interested to see if that becomes a precedent that other teams react to. I'm interested in seeing if down the line, as quarterbacks start to make more money, as wide receivers start to make more money, as college football players start to see NIL paychecks ramping up, do we get to a point where more players start saying, if you want me, you got to bring in this guy or that guy, or you got to play this style of offense or that style of defense? And how many times are teams going to fall for it? I'm real curious. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the question is up on the Twitter poll. Is a cobbler a pie? I didn't do it any sort of way that Lonzo can complain that I used fancy language or anything like that. It's just a simple question. Yeah. Is a cobbler a pie? And I am getting my ass kicked right now, by the way.
I am very impressed that you did not, you actually put, this is the best poll you've ever done. I mean, it's just, it's very simple, succinct. It's exactly how a poll should be, not your putting your influence into it. And now we're seeing the truth.
First five votes are already up. In the first minute, it's been up, and it is 4-1 no. So I'm getting smoked out of the gate. This might be my worst poll result ever.
More proof that the text line is nothing but your boys.
It's early. It's early in the contest. Let's not go bananas yet.
It is. You're early. Right. You're right. We're all only right. A couple minutes in.
Yeah. Don't count the votes. Don't stop the count.
Okay.
Stop the count. It's early.
You should have put it for the entire weekend.
I probably should have, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think you can change it now. I don't know.
I mean,
since you started talking, all you guys are going in there. Oh, I got to fix this. I got to help Rob out.
It can't just
they don't really believe. It's good that you have loyalty.
You will notice.
You have loyalty. I am so glad you have loyalty.
When I don't lose, I don't go, oh, Lonzo flooded the count.
You know, I wish.
I just go, I lost.
I wish that I had the kind of loyalty that Rob has. I mean, because that would be awesome if people who believed in me and what I believed went in there and voted.
Once again, impossible that Lonzo's just wrong. It's got to be that Rob's got an armada of fans who will follow him through the forest opinions.
You do, and I probably do too, but you've got like a couple people that no matter what you say are going to say, oh yeah, he's right. I mean, that's good. And they're not even family, which is amazing because the family does that. I mean, that's cool.
Maybe I should. I'll just text my whole family and be like, hey, I need you guys to jump in here and make me look better.
I'll text my entire family. Let's do this. So Hatfield and McCoys, and most people don't even know what that is anymore. So
the NFL kickoff rules are changing this year. You may have heard that. Adopting the USF/UFL/XFL rules this year. Teams will obviously kick off. The ball must be caught before the return team can move, before the kicking team can move. And then they'll be, 15 yards apart? And they can go from there. Basically, the whole design of the new rule is to prevent full speed, long run collisions between gigantic men in gear.
Will an outcry of the fans change this, or is this it going forward?
No, because the outcry of the fans is not going to have the economic impact that more lost lawsuits over the mental health and physical health of former players will cost the NFL. And again, while we all like to sit here and think that we are important, you're not important. Money is important. You're a secondary factor. And that's not a shot. That's all of us.
Yeah, but you're kind of important because you have to spend the money. So, I mean,
the only thing that's important is your eyeballs on a TV.
Or else the money just sits there and no one spends it. I mean, it's you're the one spending the money.
The only thing that matters is the eyeballs on the TV, because as the COVID season proved to all of us, all that matters is that the games are on TV. Every NFL stadium from week 1 to 18 could be empty stadiums and the NFL would be fine, because the TV contracts are all that matters, right? So it's not going to matter if we all collectively, if 100% of NFL fans say we hate this. Unless 100% of NFL fans don't watch TV, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So what is going to be most interesting to me is how teams adapt to this. Bears special teams coordinator Richard Hightower spoke with PFT a couple of days ago. Pro Football Talk asked him, yo, what is the team going to be doing to adjust to the new rules? And he said that, quote, anybody with a helmet that can kick is always in play. You may see, moving forward, players that maybe are position players that can kick a ball start being the kicker. Why? It's one more defender. It's one more defender, and with the new rules, it is going to be much more about solid return blocking than it is going to be about the kick returner being a wildly talented athlete. That will still be in play, But a kicker, traditionally and ordinarily, is not always a factor in terms of stopping the kickoff returner. But now that it is going to be a much more tactical heavy kickoff than it's ever been before, if an NFL team can figure out a way to get a guy on the kick that also knows how to read and defeat a block and make an open field tackle, this is one more job that kickers are going to lose.
Wasn't there a linebacker, I think, that had to kick field goals last year? Was he a linebacker? I can't remember.
Chad Johnson,
I know,
a.k.a. Chad Ochocinco, kicked a lot.
Yeah, there, but I'm pretty sure last year, I want to say it was with Pittsburgh, I believe there was actually like a linebacker or someone. So this is more recent than Ochocinco.
I know Mark Semino did it for the Eagles a few years back.
I'm pretty sure it happened multiple times last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's happened many times, but I would also argue,
you could put a linebacker or a defensive end who can also kick decent enough to get it down the field. You don't think so?
No, I think there's a big difference, but there's not. I don't think. There is a huge difference between kicking a field goal and kicking off, right? Kicking an extra point specifically and kicking off. An extra point's what, 25 yards? A touchback on a kickoff this year is going to be 65 yards of air underneath the football. So there's a lot.
That's a good point, Jacob. That's a very good point. If he indeed becomes the kicker, they still have two kickers on the team, right?
Yes, Eddie Pinero is still there, though I do not think he participated in spring due to an injury, which may set him back. We'll find out. I will tell you right now.
Running back, Ogunwale. I can never say the guy's name, kicked a field goal for the Texans last year.
A lot of position players have kicked field goals. I'm talking about a 65-yard for a touchback kickoff, because touchbacks are still in play. So I'm interested to see how many teams decide to go in that direction, decide that they are going to put everybody on the roster to the test and see if there are any elite athletes that can play outside linebacker and kicker, and place kicker. I wonder if that is the case, right? If that becomes the case, do we see down the line teams not having a place kicker? Because if you can kick off and create touchbacks or threaten touchbacks, or if you can kick off and pin receivers inside the five under the new rules, you can kick a field goal. You can certainly kick an extra point. I can tell you right now, you can take me down to the local high school, and I can kick an extra point today. I can do it today. Extra point, not a problem. Absolutely can. Did it in high school. Was an extra point kicker in high school.
Rob, you're almost 40, dude. I mean, there's a lot. You reach that point where you think, yeah, I could still do that. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could.
You are the absolute king of I can do anything. The king of it. I'm telling you today, right now, you can take me to a high school and I can kick a field an extra point. Not any longer than that, but you can take me to a high school today and I can kick an extra point.
Thank you for putting me on a pedestal, but that's definitely not me. There's not many things that I can do. There's one thing I can do well, and that's it.
Scout NFL players?
Well, okay, two things.
Okay. So
I can win awards for Star Wars.
True, because you're qualified and you've done it a lot. I'm kicking an extra point today. I cannot kick the ball 65 yards to an end zone. In fact, I would be willing to wager.
How far is an extra point now in the NFL?
25 yards.
Okay, and all right.
Actually, I think maybe it's like 22 and a half.
And the goalpost is more narrow than what it was back in your day, right?
I don't think so.
I think so.
I lied to you. The ball for an extra point is now set at the 15-yard line, so it's a 33-yard field goal. I still think I could hit it. It'd be close. I could hit it. Could not kick off into the end zone. None of you could. Maybe like one or two of you could. Very few. I would say the percentage of audience members listening right now who could hit a kick from the 35 across the goal line on the other side is like, it's a single digit percentage, if that.
By the way, I couldn't kick it 5 yards. I'm not going to act like I could do it. I could not. And I hate that I doubt you on this, but it's just a matter of age and you know, back in the day, I'm sure you could because you said you did. But now it's been a long time since you've been on a football field to do something like that.
Extra point, no problem. Anything longer than that, no.
You're just not convincing me.
That's fine. We'll put that to the side because that's not the point. The point here is I actually think this may be a step down the line towards eliminating kickers from rosters, honestly. Because if a player can kick a kickoff, he can kick an extra point, and he can kick the majority of field goals that would be required. And I got to think if I'm a team, you got to wonder, is there a trade-off where being able to carry an extra position player on the roster, effectively have a bubble spot on a roster where any given week I can rotate in a practice squad player to fill a position of depth that is needed on a game day roster, right? Like that position, I don't go, oh, it's a kicker, now it's a wide receiver. I go, it's a kicker, and we're leaving that spot open. So if we have a guard that goes down, I can put a guard on that spot. If I have a receiver that goes down, I can add a receiver. And if that ends up being the way that this is built, could we see kickers go away in the next couple of years? I think the answer might be yes. We'll talk more about it later on, back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone's open for you. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663 is the number. Local celebrity and upstate hot dog eating contest champion, Jersey Joe, joins us on the phone. Joe, welcome back, superstar. How we doing, buddy?
Rob, I am doing great. I hope you guys are doing well, too.
Not as good as you, man. Another trophy in the books, from what I understand.
Damn right.
Had a baby. Had a baby. Knocking down. What was the number yesterday at floor?
Well, everybody got 10 hot dogs, and the first one done wins.
Nice. What was the time?
5 minutes, 20 seconds.
Ooh. See, Lonzo, here's a limitation I know. I can't do that. Can't do that. Thought about it. Would not try. I feel like I would die. Yet here we are talking to the upstate hot dog eating champ. What is the strategy, Jersey Joe, to going into a competition? Like, is it don't eat for 3 or 4 days before? Is there like any mental preparation you got to go through?
No, I mean, I had a nice big breakfast of probably give or take about 8:30. And I just nibbled a little bit during the day, you know, a couple adult beverages, and made my way to the stadium, and the contest was at 5 o'clock, and then we just went from there.
You know, bud, I'm a big brewski guy. I'm a big beer guy. I got to tell you, the thought of knocking down a couple of adult soda pops before cramming 10 dogs down. Like, I just got full thinking about it, bud.
And it is funny, though, too, because the guy who finished second to me last year, Michael, he finished second to me again this time.
Did they let him finish? What was his time? Where was he at?
He was like almost 8 minutes.
Nice. Nice. I dig it. There's going to be a year. No, there's not. I was going to say there's going to be a year, Joe, where I'm going to grow the stones to come on a 4th of July and try it. But there's not. I can't. I'm not even in your stratosphere. So congratulations on another year holding the belt, bud.
I sure do appreciate it.
You got it.
Hey, I'm still waiting for that T-shirt, though.
You know what? I do. I got your number. I need to get with you. I will hook you up. Joe, appreciate it, buddy. I do owe Joe a T-shirt. That is correct. I do got to get him hooked up. Upstate hot dog eating champion, man. I mean, that is the local celebrity checking in on the show, and I appreciate it. Keegan said, I would love a Rob Brown Show web series of Ken Rob Brown Sports Ball. Just have Rob attempt all these sporting things. Listen, I know that I can't hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, okay? Again, neither can most of you. I promise. I couldn't break a 6-second 40 today. I don't know if I'd break a 7-second 40 today. I don't know. I don't think I could. All right? I know my limitations.
You can at least sub 10. I mean, yeah.
I could sub 10 a 40. I don't know if I could. Honestly, I don't know if I'd sub 7.5 a 40. I think I'd be checking in around 8 right now.
What was your 40 time back in the day?
At my fastest in high school, which was my junior year, it was a 4.57.
That's not bad.
No, it was not. I was glory days, Bruce Springsteening this thing. I was an athlete. I wasn't really good at any sport. Scratch that. I wasn't great at any one sport. I was pretty okay at everything. Pretty okay soccer player, pretty okay football player, pretty okay basketball player, pretty okay baseball player. I was not great at anything, but I was on every team because I was pretty okay at everything. But it wasn't like lack of effort. I was an athletic dude. I was an athletic dude through college. I just wasn't like really dialed in on any one thing. And this, like, we've had this conversation before. I am very pro allow your kids to try every sport, but I'm also pro when they find the one they love, dial in on that.
Hey, Keegan, you know, after the concert, there's a couple places with field goals right around where we're going to be
after the concert. That's a good time for it.
This would be the time when you'll be willing to go, yeah, I'll do it. And
I'm willing to do it now.
We're all going to be there. I mean, why not?
I'm willing to do it now. You let me go home, grab the spikes. I will meet you anywhere and do it.
You don't have time. Like you have spikes at home.
I absolutely do have spikes at home.
For what?
For soccer. They're literally kicking cleats.
Don't look at me.
Literally
like
kicking
boots. I wasn't aware that you still played the game.
You said, and I quote, like you have spikes at home, which is the definition of no, you don't, you loser. Hit me with that and then ask all disgruntled when I respond to it. Like you have spikes at home. I absolutely do.
Okay.
All right. That's enough of that. Rob Brown can hit an XP. That's all you need to
know. You're right. We're in Mark Ryan territory now. We got to get past that.
Borderline.
Because.
Hey, here's an article that went up on Yahoo Sports yesterday. It is entitled, written by Charles McDonald, quote, could Falcons' aggressive pursuit of upgrading quarterback room backfire their playoff chances? Could they? Like maybe? I mean, I guess anything's possible. But to guarantee it will seems kind of silly to me. It just seems kind of silly to me, right? Like, you have to, I think, pick the player that you think that Atlanta would have drafted at 8. So let's take a look at the defensive players that were around that spot. They took Michael Penix Jr. at 8. The first defensive player that came off the board fell all the way to 15, Liatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA who went to Indianapolis. Then you go with Byron Murphy II, went to Seattle, defensive tackle from Texas. Then you had Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, went to Minnesota per Jacksonville. Then you got to drop down to Jared Verse, who went to the LA Rams, out of Florida State, edge rusher. Then you got all the way down to 21 before you got Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State who went to Miami. First defensive back off the board, Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo, cornerback who went to Philly. First off, you got to tell me who Atlanta would have taken at the 8th spot that wouldn't have been overdrafted. And then you got to guarantee me that they're going to be a stud next year. Because there was There was a lesser need to draft a new Falcon on defense than there was to draft a new Falcon on offense. Excuse me, scratch that, reverse it. There was a lesser need to draft a new Falcon on offense than there was on defense. That 7 pick, if you are 8 pick, if you wanted this team to get better immediately, the answer is you draft a defensive player. But I have made the argument a number of times thus far that the pick in retrospect was always going to be a quarterback. Why? A lot of different reasons. Number one, Kirk Cousins is 36 years old, which in NFL quarterback years is 100. Do I think he could be an all-star this year? Absolutely. In fact, yesterday, PJ Glasser said Kirk Cousins might be a sneaky good bet to win the MVP this year. It's 50-1. Put $100 down on him, you're making, I'm doing the math, a lot of money if he does it. And he's got all the offensive skills to be that guy. if he doesn't get hurt, and if the Falcons win the division, which I think they can and will, he could absolutely win the MVP. But he's also 36 years old, coming off a surgery for an injury that OBT-dubs. Once you suffer one, it becomes more likely you suffer another. And there's nothing you can do to strengthen a tendon. It just is what it is. There's a lot you can do to weaken a tendon. Ask my ankles. But there's nothing you can do to strengthen it. You can reinforce it, right? You can put screws in either end to hold it in place. But there's nothing you can do to strengthen it. So there's no guarantee Kirk Cousins is making it out alive. And then look at the two outcomes that are possible. Outcome number one, Falcons do exceptionally well. They're not in a position to grab a top talent quarterback next year. They got to rely on Kirk Cousins for another year. If they're successful, they can't get a top-tier quarterback. And again, I think they front-loaded the contract of Kirk Cousins so that he plays two out of the 4 years. And they pay him all down the road. Or pay him all up front so that they don't have to pay him in 2 years. They keep him 2 years. They use him to bridge to the next guy. And then they cut him. Which is, I think, the plan. I think the other aspect of that is you want the next guy ready and you want to give the next guy as long as possible. Now you've given him at least a year, maybe two, unless Kirk's ankle snaps, Achilles snaps, whatever. And then the next guy's on the roster already. But even if you take all that off the board, still, in order to say that the Falcons actively hurt their chances this year, you got to tell me which one defensive player you would have drafted at number eight, because you don't get every defensive player. You can't look at it and just wait till the end of the year and pick whatever defensive rookie wins defensive rookie of the year and then go, could have drafted that guy. No, no. Would you have drafted that guy? Would you? Because let's say that Chop Robinson lights it up for Pittsburgh, or excuse me, for Miami, and becomes the defensive rookie of the year. You telling me Atlanta would have drafted the guy that got drafted 21st? No, no, no. You got to pick the guy, and then that guy's got to have a successful year. And I think that's a big ask. If you ask me, what do I think is more likely? That Atlanta would have definitely hit on the defensive player of the year, or just a really good defensive rookie, at number eight, which is, again, like 10 spots higher. Sorry, it is six spots higher than the first defensive player came off the board. Six spots higher than the first defensive player off the board. If you were telling me that Atlanta would have definitely got the right guy, would have definitely drafted him to eight, would have definitely developed him into the same player, would have definitely had him be that guy for Atlanta, if you can't do that, what's more likely? That would have happened. Or that Michael Penix Jr., a guy who was in the top three in pretty much every passing statistical category at Washington and guided that team to a national championship appearance, might be a good quarterback at the next level. Especially might be a good quarterback at the next level after a year minimum, 2 years maximum of sitting and learning from Kirk Cousins under the Kirk Cousins learning tree. Which of those is more likely? I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. And oh, by the way, there's that other little variable that was out there that the Atlanta Falcons were under investigation for tampering, that they know that there was a chance. It ended up not being the case. They only lost the fifth round pick. But there was a chance, there was a thought that Atlanta might be docked their first round pick next year. And if they got docked their first round pick next year, now they're really screwed. As far as having the opportunity, let's say they took a defensive player this year and the plan was get a quarterback next year, maybe even trade up for one. You lose your first round pick, you're pretty much in the crapper as far as being able to get that guy. So I understand the thought. I understand people are against it. But again, I pointed it out before and I'll point it out again. It was the right decision. Doesn't feel like it now, especially if you're a Falcons fan. Why not? Because it feels like you're in a position to compete right now. Here's the fun thing. The NFC South winner, I think it's Atlanta, but the NFC South winner is winning one playoff game at the maximum. They're winning one. So this ain't the year for a Super Bowl run for Atlanta or New Orleans or Carolina or Tampa Bay. the winner of the division's winning a playoff game maximum. This is about being ready to go in 2025, not 2024. And I frankly think Michael Penix was the right move for that. I don't understand why I'm reading articles called Falcons clipped their own wings. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They're just getting them ready for 2025 when they actually try to make a run at the Super Bowl. That's what I think. Now, the Michael Penix Jr. of sports flashes. Lonzo.
Now more of a starter. The Atlanta Braves dropped a three-game series, 2-1 with a 4-2 loss to San Francisco last night. Charlie Morton threw 5.1 innings, surrendering 5 hits and all 4 runs, including a pair of home runs in the fourth inning. Atlanta had 8 hits but went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. The loss drops Atlanta to 47-38 and 9 games behind Philadelphia. After a 40-year run as sponsor, Hendrick Motorsports and the Hooters restaurant chain have ended their relationship. Hendrick said Hooters was unable to meet their financial obligation and a workable solution wasn't found. Hooters initially sponsored NASCAR Series champion Alan Kulwicki in the early 90s and most recently adorned the car of Chase Elliott. Hey, make sure you check out our brand new show, Wire to Wire, this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. with Cole Bryson and Diesel. They will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The answer might be yes. We'll talk more about it later on. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas. Fan phone's open for you. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663 is the number. Local celebrity and upstate hot dog eating contest champion, Jersey Joe, joins us on the phone. Joe, welcome back, superstar. How we doing, buddy?
Rob, I am doing great. I hope you guys are doing well, too.
Not as good as you, man. Another trophy in the books, from what I understand.
Damn right.
Had a baby. Had a baby. Knocking down. What was the number yesterday at Floor?
Well, everybody got 10 hot dogs, and the first one done wins.
Nice. What was the time?
5 minutes, 20 seconds.
Ooh. See, Lonzo, here's a limitation I know. I can't do that. Can't do that. Thought about it. Would not try. I feel like I would die. Yet here we are talking to the upstate hot dog eating champ. What is the strategy, Jersey Joe, to going into a competition? Like, is it don't eat for 3 or 4 days before? Is there like any mental preparation you got to go through?
No, I mean, I had a nice big breakfast of probably give or take about 8:30. And I just nibbled a little bit during the day, you know, a couple of adult beverages, and made my way to the stadium. And the contest was at 5 o'clock, and we just went from there.
You know, bud, I'm a big brewski guy. I'm a big beer guy. I got to tell you, the thought of knocking down a couple of adult soda pops before cramming 10 dogs down. Like, I just got full thinking about it, bud.
And it is funny, though, too, because the guy who finished second to me last year, Michael, he finished second to me again this time.
Did they let him finish? What was his time? Where was he at?
He was, like, almost 8 minutes.
Nice. Nice. I dig it. There's going to be a year No, there's not. I was going to say there's going to be a year, Joe, where I'm going to grow the stones to come on a 4th of July and try it. But there's not. I can't. I'm not even in your stratosphere. So congratulations on another year holding the belt, bud.
I sure do appreciate it.
You got it.
Hey, I'm still waiting for that T-shirt, though.
You know what? I do. I got your number. I need to get with you. I will hook you up, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy. I do owe Joe a T-shirt. That is correct. I do got to get him hooked up. Upstate Hot Dog Eating Champion, man. I mean, that is the local celebrity checking in on the show, and I appreciate it. Keegan said, I would love a Rob Brown Show web series of Ken Rob Brown Sports Ball. Just have Rob attempt all these sporting things. Listen, I know that I can't hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, okay? Again, neither can most of you. I promise. I couldn't break a 6-second 40 today. I don't know if I'd break a 7-second 40 today. I don't know. I don't think I could. All right. I know my limitations.
You can at least sub 10. I mean, yeah.
I could sub 10 a 40. I don't know if I could. Honestly, I don't know if I'd sub 7.5 a 40. I think I'd be checking in around 8 right now.
What was your 40 time back in the day?
At my fastest in high school, which was my junior year, it was a 4.57.
That's not bad.
No, it was not. I was glory days, Bruce Springsteening this thing. I was an athlete. I wasn't really good at any sport. Scratch that. I wasn't great at any one sport. I was pretty okay at everything. Pretty okay soccer player, pretty okay football player, pretty okay basketball player, pretty okay baseball player. I was not great at anything, but I was on every team because I was pretty okay at everything. But it wasn't like lack of athletic. I was an athletic dude. I was an athletic dude through college. I just wasn't like really dialed in on any one thing. And this is like, we've had this conversation before. I am very pro allow your kids to try every sport. But I'm also pro when they find the one they love, dial in on that. Dial in on that.
Hey, Keegan, you know, after the concert, there's a couple places with field goals right around where we're going to be
after the concert. That's a good time for it.
This would be the time when you'll be willing to go. Yeah, I'll do it. And
I'm willing to do it now.
We're all going to be there. I mean, why not?
I'm willing to do it now. You let me go home, grab the spikes. I will meet you anywhere and do it.
You don't have time. Like you have spikes at home.
I absolutely do have spikes
for
at home.
What?
For soccer. They're literally kicking cleats.
Don't look at me.
Literally
like
kicking
that.
Boots.
I wasn't aware that you still played the game.
You said, and I quote, like you have spikes at home, which is the definition of no, you don't, you loser. Hit me with that and then ask all disgruntled when I respond to it. Like you have spikes at home. I absolutely do.
Okay.
All right. That's enough of that. Rob Brown can hit an XP. That's all you need to know.
You're right. We're in Mark Ryan territory now. We got to get past that.
Borderline.
Because, yeah.
Hey, here's an article that went up on Yahoo Sports yesterday. It is entitled, written by Charles McDonald, quote, could Falcons' aggressive pursuit of upgrading quarterback room backfire their playoff chances? Could they? Like maybe? I mean, I guess anything's possible. But to guarantee it will seems kind of silly to me. It just seems kind of silly to me, right? Like you have to, I think, pick the player that you think that Atlanta would have drafted at 8. So let's take a look at the defensive players that were around that spot. They took Michael Penix Jr. at 8. The first defensive player that came off the board fell all the way to 15, Leatu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA who went to Indianapolis. Then you go with Byron Murphy II, went to Seattle, defensive tackle from Texas. Then you had Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, went to Minnesota per Jacksonville. Then you got to drop down to Jared Verse, who went to the LA Rams out of Florida State, edge rusher. Then you got all the way down to 21 before you got Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State who went to Miami. First defensive back off the board, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, cornerback who went to Philly. First off, you got to tell me who Atlanta would have taken at the eighth spot that wouldn't have been overdrafted. And then you got to guarantee me that they're going to be a stud next year. Because there was no need, not no need. There was a lesser need to draft a new Falcon on defense than there was to draft a new Falcon on offense. Excuse me, scratch that, reverse it. There was a lesser need to draft a new Falcon on offense than there was on defense. That 7 pick, if you are 8 pick, if you wanted this team to get better immediately, the answer is you draft a defensive player. But I have made the argument a number of times thus far that the pick in retrospect was always going to be a quarterback. Why? A lot of different reasons. Number one, Kirk Cousins is 36 years old, which in NFL quarterback years is 100. Do I think he could be an all-star this year? Absolutely. In fact, yesterday, PJ Glasser said Kirk Cousins might be a sneaky good bet to win the MVP this year. It's 50-1. Put $100 down on him, you're making, I'm doing the math, a lot of money if he does it. And he's got all the offensive skills to be that guy. If he doesn't get hurt, and if the Falcons win the division, which I think they can and will, he could absolutely win the MVP. But he's also 36 years old, coming off a surgery for an injury that OBT dubs. Once you suffer one, it becomes more likely you suffer another. And there's nothing you can do to strengthen a tendon. It just is what it is. There's a lot you can do to weaken a tendon. Ask my ankles. But there's nothing you can do to strengthen it. You can reinforce it, right? You can put screws in either end to hold it in place. But there's nothing you can do to strengthen it. So there's no guarantee Kirk Cousins is making it out alive. And then look at the two outcomes that are possible. Outcome number one, Falcons do exceptionally well. They're not in a position to grab a top talent quarterback next year. They got to rely on Kirk Cousins for another year. If they're successful, they can't get a top tier quarterback. And again, I think they front loaded the contract of Kirk Cousins so that he plays 2 out of the 4 years and they pay him all down the road. Or pay them all up front so that they don't have to pay them in 2 years. They keep them 2 years. They use them to bridge to the next guy. And then they cut him. Which is, I think, the plan. I think the other aspect of that is you want the next guy ready. And you want to give the next guy as long as possible. Now you've given him at least a year, maybe two. Unless Kirk's ankle snaps, Achilles snaps, whatever. And then the next guy's on the roster already. But even if you take all that off the board, still, in order to say that the Falcons actively hurt their chances this year, you got to tell me which one defensive player you would have drafted at number 8. Because you don't get every defensive player. You can't look at it and just wait till the end of the year and pick whatever defensive rookie wins defensive rookie of the year and then go, could have drafted that guy. No, no. Would you have drafted that guy? Would you? Because let's say that Chop Robinson lights it up for Pittsburgh, or excuse me, for Miami, and becomes the defensive rookie of the year. You telling me Atlanta would have drafted the guy that got drafted 21st? No, no, no. You got to pick the guy, and then that guy's got to have a successful year. And I think that's a big ask. If you ask me, what do I think is more likely? That Atlanta would have definitely hit on the defensive player of the year, or just a really good defensive rookie at number 8, which is, again, like 10 spots higher. Sorry. It is 6 spots higher than the first defensive player came off the board. 6 spots higher than the first defensive player off the board. If you were telling me that Atlanta would have definitely got the right guy, would have definitely drafted him at 8, would have definitely developed him into the same player, would have definitely had him be that guy for Atlanta, if you can't do that, what's more likely? That would happen, or that Michael Penix Jr., a guy who was in the top 3 in pretty much every passing statistical category at Washington and guided that team to a national championship appearance, might be a good quarterback at the next level. Especially might be a good quarterback at the next level after a year minimum, 2 years maximum, of sitting and learning from Kirk Cousins under the Kirk Cousins learning tree. Which of those is more likely? I'm going to go with Michael Penix Jr. And oh, by the way, there's that other little variable that was out there that the Atlanta Falcons were under investigation for tampering, that they know that there was a chance. It ended up not being the case. They only lost the fifth round pick. But there was a chance, there was a thought that Atlanta might be docked their first round pick next year. And if they got docked their first round pick next year, now they're really screwed. As far as having the opportunity, let's say they took a defensive player this year and the plan was get a quarterback next year, maybe even trade up for one. You lose your first round pick, you're pretty much in the crapper as far as being able to get that guy. So I understand the thought. I understand people are against it. But again, I've pointed it out before and I'll point it out again. It was the right decision. Doesn't feel like it now, especially if you're a Falcons fan. Why not? Because it feels like you're in a position to compete right now. Here's the fun thing. The NFC South winner, I think it's Atlanta, but the NFC South winner is winning one playoff game at the maximum. They're winning one. So this ain't the year for a Super Bowl run for Atlanta or New Orleans or Carolina or Tampa Bay. The winner of the division's winning a playoff game maximum. This is about being ready to go in 2025, not 2024. And I frankly think Michael Penix was the right move for that. I don't understand why I'm reading articles called Falcons clipped their own wings. No, they didn't. They're just getting them ready for 2025 when they actually try to make a run at the Super Bowl. That's what I think. Now, the Michael Penix Jr. of sports flashes. Lonzo.
Now more of a starter. The Atlanta Braves dropped a three-game series, 2-1 with a 4-2 loss to San Francisco last night. Charlie Morton threw 5.1 innings, surrendering 5 hits and all 4 runs, including a pair of home runs in the fourth inning. Atlanta had 8 hits but went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. The loss drops Atlanta to 47-38 and 9 games behind Philadelphia. After a 40-year run as sponsor, Hendrick Motorsports and the Hooters restaurant chain have ended their relationship. Hendrick said Hooters was unable to meet their financial obligation and a workable solution wasn't found. Hooters initially sponsored NASCAR Series champion Alan Kulwicki in the early 90s and most recently adorned the car of Chase Elliott. Hey, make sure you check out our brand new show, Wire to Wire, this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. with Cole Bryson and Diesel. They will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.